hello again, everyone, and welcome back to our third episode of the new podcast, Practice What You Teach. My name is James Sutton. I'm the learning technologist for the Heart Learning Group.
And my name is Nick Wilson-Clinch. I am the creative industries teacher for supported studies, and I'm very glad to be sat here today.
You're also a digital champion as well.
I am a digital champion.
That.
I was doing myself a disservice
you
there.
You were, yeah.
Yes, so it's nice to be back again for episode number 3, where we're going to talk a little bit about AI and some things that have been happening in the college recently. Isn't that right, James? So we were, just before we got started, we were talking a little bit about agents and AI agents, because that's something that's come up a lot this week. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on and what you're working on at the minute?
I would love to. Thanks, Nick. So really, this goes back to August. We've been thinking in terms of how we can put a greater focus on AI, generally, how we move forward. The mandatory staff training was put together and everybody completed that back in August, when we came back into the new academic year. And I think we've got a good solid foundation to work from in terms of what AI is in general, but there was always that question mark of what do we do next?
Sure.
Alongside that, we had the implementation of the action research projects, which are being implemented across curriculum areas to help innovate and drive change, positive change. For me, it was always about identifying a use case, because I don't know about yourself, Nick, but I love innovation. I love driving innovation in areas of technology, in the aspect of teaching and learning, of course, being focused on curriculum as I am. But there has to be a need there. If I don't see a need, I'm not motivated. It's all about people at the end of the day.
And I think one of the problems with AI is the shoehorning of AI right now. I absolutely see the benefits of AI, and it's exciting. Coming from a creative background myself, I am, you know, in my own personal world, I'm seeing a lot of negative media about AI at the minute and its use within the arts, especially around music and film. And it's been making me reflect a little bit on its correct use and making sure that there is a purpose and a need, which I think is where what you're getting to.
As a creator, I'm curious to know what you think, because obviously there's concern that AI will be used to hijack human creativity.
Oh, well, it is already. And I think I have a lot of friends in the creative field who have had to protest and put their foot down in ways of making sure that their jobs aren't replaced. You know, I used to be a voice director in the voiceover business, and AI voices are becoming quite normal, and AI faces and, you know, AI deepfakes as well. And I think there's becoming a real ethical question around the use of AI, which has been interesting. So making sure we're using it for a purpose, a scaffolding purpose and a supportive purpose, is just, it's becoming to me how important that is, I think.
Exactly that. And I think we're in a similar place, because we're talking about creativity and the arts, but I don't see much of a difference between that and teaching, because the way we design lessons for our learners is a creative process. We are being creators. Also, in the strategies that we put in place to support our learners, it's a creative process, and we owe it to our learners, but also ourselves, not to relinquish that creativity to something like AI. Certainly, yes. To use it as you've said, exactly that, a scaffolding tool that will help us, like a co-worker, a colleague who can sit alongside us and ask the right sort of questions that will prompt our own creativity rather than taking it away from us.
And that kind of lends to this agent thing that you've been working on, isn't that right? That kind of work, an AI agent works as almost like a colleague or an assistant, is that right?
Yeah. So as a bit of a spoiler as well, this is coming alongside a very public campaign that our marketing team are supporting with at the moment. We're releasing a general theme that will be on our displays around college, with the general idea being, think with me, not for me.
Absolutely.
In terms of our relationship with AI, that we want it to be a co-worker, at something that's thinking alongside us and asking the right sort of questions in its support of us. You've talked about the fear of losing jobs and facing unemployment as a result of AI. Well, if we want to mitigate against that and prevent that from happening, we owe it to ourselves to be part of that type of process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to teach the learners how to work with it rather than against it.
And staff as well.
Yeah, and staff. Because it's kind of one of those things where it's not going anywhere. So if we don't learn to live with it, we're going to be left behind.
Yeah, we've got to find a middle ground. We've got to find compromise. It's not going away. People will use it. If we don't bring it in-house and model how to use it responsibly, it drives its use underground and makes it harder to detect. So my stance on it is that we bring it into the fold, so to speak, so that we can control it. Mm-hmm. And so that control might be the wrong word. So we can manage its use, model effective and responsible use of the technology. And that's where the agents come in. So it's taken a while to get there, but this is where the agents come in. All of what we've just been talking about is, I think, a necessary foundation for this. For those who are not aware of agents, if you use Copilot regularly at work, you might have seen that feature in the chat area of Copilot, which says create an agent or create agent, and wondered what that is if you haven't delved into that. What we can do at the moment as individuals in our organization, we can't share them with each other at present, so we're at the very early stages. But you can create an agent, give it a set of data to work from, tell it that it's only allowed to use that data, and in that way you can control the data set that it's working from. So, for example, we can give it our own organisational data and resources.
Is it safe to give it our own organisation data? Is it GDPR safe to do that?
That's a really good question. Yes. So when I have chats with Copilot at work, I will frequently attach relevant documents to that chat because I'm asking it to look at that and have a conversation with me about the content of that document. And often it's work-related stuff. And what it will do is none of that is sent to Microsoft. Those documents are placed in a folder inside my own OneDrive that Copilot can access and look at. So it all stays in-house.
So it's ring-fenced.
It's ring-fenced data.
Okay, that's good. So people can feel it safe in the knowledge that they can share work information that it's not going to go anywhere and it doesn't feed the greater data set of the AI engine.
It's not used to train the agent.
That's important, isn't it? Because as you feed the AI beast, that then trains it for the entire thing, right? So if you use ChatGPT and you put in a document, it can then use that document to learn from. But what you're saying is with Copilot, it can't do that, which is probably why we would suggest if you're going to use AI, especially for work, use the one that's within our platform, because it's a safer way to do so without leaking any data.
So this is relevant to the identified case use that I sort of hinted at earlier. I was having a conversation with Zoe, our deputy head of quality, who is also head of quality assurance, who assures that our processes are working properly and fit for purpose in curriculum. And she's recently put some training together for staff on individual learner profiles, how to write effective individual learner profiles to identify learner needs and to document strategies for supporting those learners. And we were wondering how AI could help in that process. And I had the idea of, let's create an agent then and give it Zoe's training materials, plus anything else we can get our hands on that's relevant to our own organisation. And just to caveat that, that's as well, I think that the strength of that is if you buy in an external tool, it won't necessarily know your own organisational way of doing things.
Okay.
Our own culture, so to speak, because every organisation, although we meet the requirements of external standards, we still have our own culture and our own way of doing things. I think it's important to preserve those.
Sure.
I think we're a very friendly, warm, welcoming college. I think as individuals who work within the college, we have that quality as well. Mm-hmm. And I think they're really important things to hold on to. And that can be contained within our training materials that we give AI.
Right.
And I think being able to control the AI in that way is powerful.
Yeah.
So I gave it the training material. And then, of course, and I've called it a learner support advisor.
Mm-hmm. And this agent now exists for you to use at any point.
I can. So we can't share it at the moment. That's the next step. So this feeds right back to what I said at the beginning. So this feeds into our current action learning set process. Because once you've created an agent, it can still do unexpected things. So, for example, when I spoke to it and said, can you give me an individual learner profile? It will come up with some generic suggestions on how a learner can be supported. But it hadn't asked me what I taught.
Right.
It hadn't asked for any information about the learner or their needs, so it was spitting out some generic information.
I guess what might worry people then is if they were to just go off and then use that without considering if it was appropriate, which is often the worry, isn't it? You've got to quality check the AI's
right.
work.
But we can build that in, and that's the power of an agent. So having identified that this was happening, I then went back in and said, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to be like an inquisitive child who just won't let go, who wants to know and who will ask the person asking for help, right, what do you teach? Mm-hmm. What are your learners' needs? And literally, it will be like a dog with a bone. It won't let go until you answer those questions. So when I told it that, when I gave it that instruction, then when I interacted with it, it would ask for that information. Mm-hmm. And I would push back against it and say, oh, look, I'm in a hurry. And it would say, I understand that you're in a hurry, but if the support I suggest you is going to be relevant and effective for your learner, I need to know. Hmm. It was all friendly because that's how I'd told it to be, but it was starting to come back with that Socratic approach, which
that's fantastic.
Is really what I want to see. And being able to control the agents that we're using in-house, I see the potential for that to be quite powerful.
Yeah, and I think the difference here from using an agent, just the AI engine, is you've trained it on a data set that it will remember time and time again. So rather than just typing into Copilot, make me a learner profile, you've created a specific data set agent that is learning and building off of a certain type of data that has been ring-fenced. We were talking about it the other day and I said it's like a horse with blinkers on. You've given it certain data and it can't look outside that.
Good analogy. Very good analogy.
So you can create this for as many different areas. You can create one for lesson planning, technically. You could create one for schemes of learning. You could create one
for smart targets.
And that is their only job, which is really exciting to think about. You could have an entire team of AI agents supporting your practice.
Of specialists. Individual specialists.
But that
doesn't replace our own specialists, because the knowledge of that AI specialist is only as good as the knowledge held by the human specialist that inform its training data. Yeah. So it's not replacing anybody, and I think it's really important to stress that.
It's a support. Again, it's a supportive and as used as scaffolding, and it should never replace the beautiful human brain.
No, work alongside
the human brain. And I think also it's important to note that you can stop it from looking at unreliable data. A big problem with AI is it takes data from anything and everything. And we know that some data sources are not as reliable as others. So you can ask the agents, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, to only look at certain places, right?
Yeah, AI can analyze data, but it doesn't know whether the data content is fact or fiction.
Sure.
Unless you tell it. It still needs a human to say, no, that's not true. And,
right.
And that's why that human element is
so
essential.
Key. Yeah, of course. And it's being able to make sure that you're doing your research as well and critical thinking to make sure that you're supporting the AI.
Critical thinking is, that's it. Mm. That's what we've got to reinforce in our learners, in our staff, everyone who interacts with it, because that's the only pathway to effective use.
Absolutely.
In my mind.
Absolutely. And we need to make sure that we're not allowing the AI to do our critical thinking. I think that's the key here, isn't it?
Yes.
So do we think that we're going to start to see a rollout of the use of more agents across NHC? Is that something that people should expect to start seeing?
We're exploring how we can do that.
Okay.
At the moment, I think it's a shared view amongst our specialists that this is the way forward.
Great.
It's just a question of how we can do that safely.
Mm-hmm.
So in relation to this particular agent that I've created, the next step in my mind is to link it to an action research project,
mm-hmm.
not that belongs to a particular curriculum area, but that we identify individuals across the organisation who can ask it for help with ILPs, for example.
Yeah.
But in relation to learners, they already know, so they can assess the accuracy of its output and feed that information back.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use that fed back information to train that agent even further based on the feedback from our own staff.
That's great.
And then once we know it's robust, look at how we could release that to everyone.
You know, obviously, from my role as a teacher, I'm thinking of things like report writing. And because I work in sports studies, I do a lot of EHCP reviews as well. So is there a world in which I could have an agent that could support me with my report
yes.
writing and writing EHCP reviews as well?
Yeah.
And that doing something like EHCP reviews, we're still secure and guarded by GDPR, aren't we? So
yes.
we can share that information with the bot.
Yes, I need to explore this further, but I think in sharing the information with that bot would still be storing the information you share with it in your area.
Locally.
Yeah, locally to you.
So great, not to the wider Microsoft platform.
No, it can, yeah, exactly that.
God, that's incredibly exciting, isn't it? If it's used properly, this could be a real game changer for educators, I think, because like you say, everyone could have their own little team of specialists supporting them to create the yeah. best output.
And I think we're laying a foundation, a process for how we create and roll these things out, because then you could have multiple, because I don't see these are all going to be designed by me.
Right.
And I think you could then have a team of agent creators working in this, using the action research methodology to develop agents that become specialists within our own organization.
Yeah. So do you see maybe in 2026 some training on how to create these kind of agents potentially?
Yes, because my thinking very much is that the process that we use to create this agent and the collective knowledge that flows out of that process will inform the training that comes with the rollout of the initial agent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds amazing. Very exciting stuff.
It is, yeah.
Goodness me.
I love my job.
I can tell. Well, that's all we've got time for today, I'm afraid. It's just a short one today and the last one of the year, because it's already
yes.
Christmas, which is weird. But it's been great to hear about AI agents. Do feel free, if you have questions about these agents and bots, do message me or James, because as those of you who know us know, we love to talk about it.
We do.
So please do stop us in the halls and Teams us or anything to have a natter about how these might
support
CPD
you. Days, if you see us wandering around, you
absolutely
know, come up and say hello.
Yeah, because it is an exciting topic, but it's also quite a complicated topic. So if you feel like you want more clarification about what we're talking about, just come and find us. It'll be great to have a chat. And like I said, this is the last one before Christmas, which is wild. In the new year, we're hoping to get even more guests. So do let us know if you want to be involved. And hopefully we can start to build this podcast to make it even bigger and maybe even more regular as well.
Yeah, in relation to the agents, watch this space. And hopefully there will be some exciting things emerging that you will be a part of. In terms of involving people, particularly with the training, I'd like to see a mix of people who are confident with the technology, but probably some people in there who are tentative around the technology as well. So don't rule yourself out if AI is something that worries you.
Absolutely.
But hopefully more on that in the new year. But yes, it's been a lot. It's a long term, this one.
Oh, yes.
I think everyone is ready for a well-deserved rest, and I'd like to wish everybody a restful season, Christmas season.
Absolutely. Time to rest, reflect, be with family, have some calm,
yes.
And then ready to smash 2026.
Yes.
And make it the best year we can.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right. I'm Nick Wilson-Clinch. You can contact me at nicholas.wilsonclinch@nhc.ac.uk.
My name is James Sutton. You can contact me on jsutton@nhc.ac.uk. And obviously you can contact us both on Teams as well.
Have a happy Christmas.
And wonderful New Year.
Bye now.
Bye.